Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all ready for this?
Welcome, everybody, to The Blitz here on Blog Talk Radio and on UltimateSportsTalk.com. Happy Labor Day weekend, everybody. I hope you guys are all having a great and safe weekend. I'm your co-host, Erica Lynn Anderson. Unfortunately, our host, Oscar Lopez, will not be here today, but we will do our best to keep the ship going in his absence. We will miss him, though. There was a lot of college football action this weekend, so I invite you guys to please go check out GridironGirl.org and at GridironGirl.org on Twitter for all of the updates. We have tailgating ideas and recipes. You guys will not be disappointed. You guys can check out what our writers are saying about the weekend. Let's do women's game rundown before we get to the No Joke Football Huddle. Sponsored by Zazzle.com. Go to Zazzle.com/gridironbeauties and get a Labor Day 15% off deal on every item if you use code 2014 Labor Day. In the women's game, check out the wild clip from the LFL Stream versus Breeze matchup on our timeline. It was a pretty there was a pretty crazy aftermatch scuffle. It was like WWE stuff. Unsportsmanlike attitude from Jax Breeze players Bryn Renda, Lauren Ziegler, and Adrian Purnell, so go check it out. LFL Legends Cup is September 6th at CB Bank Arena featuring Chicago Bliss versus the Atlanta Steam. Bliss is led by MVP quarterback Heather Furr, running back Chris Del Harris, and tough D end Chantel Taylor. They're looking for back-to-back titles versus rookie sensation quarterback Dakota Hughes, running back Nasira Johnson, and the rest of the Atlanta Steam. Go to Legends Football League on YouTube for the latest promos for Legends Cup 2014. In Mexico, LIBF hosted Mayas versus Guerreras in Cancun yesterday. We will have results as they get updated on the league site. Get all the upcoming games and dates on their website, which is www.libf.com.mx for details, plus on Twitter at LIBFOFICIL. That's at LIBF. Official. Follow the Australian season and how it unfolds by keeping up to date on the latest Gridiron Victoria, Queensland, ACT, and New South Wales action by following at Women's Gridiron on Twitter. Australian season also features our No Joke Football brand supporters running back Christy L. Moran and quarterback Lauren Evans of Queensland Champs GC Stingrays. Plus follow at MyLFLAU or at RADDYLFL for updates on the Legends Football League Australia season kickoff for the 14 and 15 season. We want to say congrats to the SA Texas Legacy for their undefeated 10-0 season in the Texas Football League season. Shout out to the Central Canada Football League for their awesome promo for 2015. Check out the video at CCWFL on Twitter. So congratulations again to the SA Texas Legacy. That's the women's news. Follow us for the latest on Twitter at Gridiron Beauty or Facebook.com/GridironBeauties. So there's 1 week to go for regular NFL season, and today we have an amazing guest to talk NFL news and notes and anything else. It's the lovely and talented Nicole Rodriguez from NRPR Group, digital entertainment publicist and former Oakland Raiders NFL cheerleader. You can follow her on Twitter at NicoleRPR. Hi, Nicole. Thanks for making the time for us. How are you today?
I'm great, Erica. Thanks for having me.
Can you believe that the NFL is going to start in a week?
Oh, my God. I look forward to it every single year. When the Super Bowl hits and we're all done, it's like I just go into this really sad lull, and I just look forward to, you know, that August time frame when games start, and even, you know, April when the draft happens. So football is a big part of my life, so I'm really excited.
I hear you. I know. I always do have, like, this horrible football hangover, and it's, like, the worst
right.
thing ever, and it's so sad. So...
Right.
I just told everyone you were an Oakland Raiders cheerleader, so this is probably a stupid question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. So who are you rooting for?
Oh, my God. Okay, so I've been a Raider fan my entire life. So not only did I cheer for them, another side note, I actually did PR for them early in my career as well. So I had the great opportunity to be really brought into the Raider family. I remember being there 7 days a week when I wasn't doing PR on the business side of things. I was going to practice. So I lived and breathed everything Raiders, and it was a dream come true, especially for, you know, me being just a couple years out of college, having that opportunity. So the Raiders are definitely my number one. And when I was a kid growing up, I was a huge fan of Barry Sanders. So I'd have to say that Detroit is my second favorite, you know, another underdog team, but I'm really proud of the progress they've been making. So that would be my number one and number twos. And but I like watching all football. So.
Oh, nice. Okay, great.
Yeah.
That does sound like a dream come true. If I could be at Gillette Stadium or something for 7 days a week, I would hop on that opportunity for sure.
Right. So. There you go.
So, Nicole, why don't you tell us a little bit about you and your group?
Yeah, so when I was in college, two big things that I wanted to do, actually three. One of them was to do PR for the Raiders, and I got to check that box off. I could believe it was 2 years after I graduated, which was awesome. And then the next was I actually thought, you know, I eventually want to move to L.A., and open up a PR agency. And I'm proud to say that I've been able to check off all three of those boxes. So worked for the Raiders, moved to L.A. 4 years after moving. I am officially, a public relations / social media marketing firm that's for real. And we're doing really, really well so far, and I'm very proud.
Nice. So, and I have here that you've had campaigns for places like Yahoo, Dolby, Sony Pictures, Sony PlayStation, Hulu, MGO, Toon Hero, Demand Media, Mobi TV, and obviously, like you said,
oh,
the Raiders. Those are some huge names. So congratulations on your success. That's so awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. I mean, it's 14 years. 14 years, and I'm very, very proud. Lots of great companies to have been working with and building projects and strategies and all those things for.
Mm-hmm. So kind of, I just know, you know, with Gridiron Girls, the site I write for, we're kind of in that, you know, every business goes through that growing pain where you're kind of working for free, you're trying to get things off the ground, you're kind of looking for that big break, you know, Apple in the garage phase type thing. So what kept you encouraged or what kept you going during those days when you were trying to get your dream realized and you know, you weren't quite there yet?
Oh, a lot of faith. I think, you know, throughout my career working for other places and, you know, you set goals for yourself and it takes steps and a lot of hard work to get to those goals. But you know, I've kept a positive attitude, I think, my entire way through. And I keep looking at it even now and saying, you know, I haven't let myself down yet, right? I just keep plugging away, Nicole. You've done a lot of great things for a lot of great companies. And I that is what got me through those hard days. And being able to also say, you know, not only did I do PR for companies that involved a lot of technology, which required a lot of thought and intricate thinking and planning, you know, being able to take that and say, I'm opening up my own agency, here's my background, I'm training these amazing people on my team to think and do the same, and that positive energy has really translated into growing a great network already in LA to where people are calling me already. You know, I think it's, I want to say, a little over 90 days since we announced the agency, and we have 9 clients, and one client that I'm very, very proud to say we just signed, which is Sugar Shane Mosley, which is an amazing athlete, and I'm very proud to have him on the roster. Yeah, so good news travels fast, and if you keep working hard and show people that you care about them, especially clients, you know, showing them that every minute that they spend on their PR and marketing is worth it, then that good news will help continue to grow the roster.
Great. Yeah. Congratulations on that. That is a big deal.
Thank you.
So one thing, so there's this, you know, this, you're probably aware of it, there's this stereotype or this perception that exists with NFL cheerleaders, it's out there. Any football fan, even people who don't even know about football, they know about the cheerleaders, the Dallas Cowboy girls. And so what do you kind of have to say about that kind of the perception of, you know, the negative perception of NFL cheerleaders?
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, I sort of, how do I put it? I pride myself in being a unicorn. Let's say that. I think there are women out there that exist, and many of them were Raiderettes. I have to say that they were very, very picky in choosing girls that were on the team. I would say Mary Barnes, who was the original sort of, hit her and Al Locasell, actually, they took the Raiderettes, I would say, in the early 90s and created this strategy around this ultimate woman. And the people that we want on our team, quote-unquote, they would say, are women who have beauty, brains, and are going somewhere in their lives. And when we would audition, they were looking for that. So the very first thing that we had to do was actually interview and introduce ourselves without any dancing. There wasn't dancing first. It was, are you a poised female with grace who we could put in front of the community that people would love and respect? And I loved that approach because, you know, it weeded out, I would say, some women who were just there because they loved dancing but knew nothing about football. And that always got to me because, I mean, not only did I love dancing, but I was also smart. I went to college, and I, you know, just so happened to love dancing and football at the same time. So there are many, many smart cheerleaders out there, and I think we just, you know, we get a bad rap because, you know, a couple of rotten apples, I'm sure, could spoil any bunch, but I would have to say that it was an honor being with the Raiderettes because many of them, let me take a step back. It was a requirement that you were going to college, right? So you graduated or you're currently mm-hmm. in college or you had a job, a full-time job, or you're a full-time stay-at-home mom. You had to be something in order to be on the team. And I believe the requirements are still there. I don't know if anything's changed since I, you know, was off the team, but yeah, the Raiders absolutely required that you be something outside of just, quote-unquote, a cheerleader.
That's good to hear because, you know, the general public, you know, I don't think we're privy to that knowledge, and that, you know, does debunk the perception that, you know, most of them are just a pretty face and you just dance, and that's great to hear, you know, that, mm-hmm. you know, there's, you know, and I personally never – held that perception, but I do know it's out there, and so I'm glad you were able to clear that up. So,
oh, definitely.
And I know we talked about this off air, but wanted to get your opinion on, you know, the cheerleaders that are suing their teams that, have come forward and said they're not getting compensated enough.
Right. So, you know, like I said, if for years and years and years, no Raiderette has ever sued the team for feeling like they weren't compensated well enough. And unfortunately, what one girl, and I believe she got a couple of other girls to jump on the bandwagon, brought out was how much we're paid per game and that we're not paid for practices. However, what she failed to mention was the big picture. And if you really, really think about it, wouldn't all of us have been, you know, upset about the lack of pay if we weren't happy with it? I would have to say that I was extremely happy with how I was compensated with the Raiders. Of course, anyone would be, you know, hey, I'd like to have more. No one's going to bat their eyelashes at, you know, someone saying, no, you can't have any, or excuse me, no one's going to say no if they're offering more. So it's one of those things where it's really, really unfortunate. But to me, I never met her, right? We have a big family. We're all pretty close, but I just so happened to not get a chance to meet her. And she was also a cheerleader for the Golden State Warriors, which has a very, very small team, right? And she was saying, well, we got compensated for going to practice. And in my point of view, how we practiced for the Raiderettes, you know, we were told we needed to be at three practices. That was mandatory. But you want to look good out there. You've got thousands upon thousands of people watching you in the stands. You're going to practice more on your own, right? So many of us, especially in our rookie season, we were practicing 5-6 days a week. We wanted to be perfect. We knew people were going to be watching. So for her to come out and say, oh, I wasn't compensated for practice, well, that's hard to measure, you know, and anyway, we get paid for a lot of other things outside of just game day. We get paid for appearances, for signing autographs and calendars, you know, for charity events. So, you know, I can't say how much, but I will have to say it. My rookie season, after my rookie season, I was able to, you know, take a trip to Hawaii because I had sold the most calendars and the Raiders were really happy about that. And there are so many ways to be compensated with money and trips and all that other stuff that literally the picture that she painted was so poor. And it just goes to show, you know, women who are out there just to be seen as a dancer and not a fan of the sport, a lot of them don't feel like they get the full reward. You know, for me, being out there on the field and feeling that energy rush, like you can't put a price tag on that. My very first game, tears were coming down my eyes, down my face. You could not put a price tag on that moment. So it's really unfortunate she felt that way.
Yeah. It sounds like an amazing experience, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how has your cheerleading career helped or prepared you for your current endeavors, kind of with starting your company and moving forward with that?
Oh, that's a great question. My team, they're so funny. They're a very, very awesome team. But, you know, they look at me and they're like, you know, you're like our personal cheerleader. You know, having a CEO who encourages every day. I know how good it feels when someone comes to you and tells you, wow, you're doing a really good job. And if you're not doing a good job, coming to them and saying, well, here's how we can fix it and improve it, rather than, wow, this you really stink and I'm not going to talk to you about it. I'm going to have someone else talk to you about how to fix it. You know, I'm all about encouragement and firing up my team. And so far, so good. I think that's why people enjoy working at the company and want to stay and are, you know, helping come up with ideas to help me grow, which is amazing. So, you know, you keep putting that positive energy out, that quote-unquote cheerleader, that's something that they definitely appreciate and just a intricate part of my personality, I guess. So.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I can tell you, I worked jobs where I wasn't encouraged and jobs where I was encouraged. And there is a stark difference there between, you know, how far you're willing to go above and beyond the requirements of you know, your job description because, you know, you can tell that your employer appreciates you. So that's so great to hear. You don't come across many people that are natural cheerleaders and not just because they're getting paid for it. So
exactly.
That's really cool. So I have here in your bio that you have a daughter, right?
I do. Yes. I'm her number one fan.
Now, is she interested in cheerleading at all? Is that something she's ever brought up?
So funny. So she did junior raiderettes the very first year that she could. It was a proud moment for me. But at the same time, we noticed something there where, you know, I'm a very, what's the word? I'm a competitive, a positively competitive person. But at the same time, I saw, you know, my daughter, it's so funny. I'm thinking, well, you're going to be in front of thousands of people, Yvette. And I think at that point, she was maybe six. And I was like, so here's what you've got to do. You know, when you step clap, your feet need to be together. And you need to smile. There needs to be energy there. And I'm sitting here trying to coach this six-year-old to, like, just coming out there and performing. And she's looking at me like, Mom, I'm really trying to have fun with this. You know, and I just thought, oh, God, you know what? Nope, I cannot. I can't do this because then I'm going to turn into that stage mom. And we sat and we talked about it, and she goes, Mom, I really enjoy it, but I don't think this is my thing. And she's played basketball and volleyball, and I've just, you know, I'm at her games cheering her on the sidelines, and I thought, thank you, God, because I think I probably would have turned into a beast had she gone into cheerleading.
So
it all worked out, yeah. So funny.
At least you're honest enough to admit it there. That's probably first step. Oh, awesome. And how old is she now?
She's 13. So she has 13? Been with me since day one, yeah. She used to go with me to the Raider facility when I would go to work, especially during the summer. And everyone knew her. And I remember there was one time Warren Sapp played for the team, such a great guy, really, really upstanding kind of guy. And she's running through the halls naturally like a four-year-old would, and I'm just, you know, just running around trying to hide her before my boss sees, you know. And but, again, the Raider family is very much a family, you know. And so she runs right up to Warren, and she had seen him a couple of times. And he picks her up, and he's, you know, he's like, I'm just going to walk around and, you know, take her up to, you know, upstairs to, you know, where Al's secretaries were. And it was hilarious. Mm-hmm. I'm like, all right, just bring her in like 15 minutes. I just have to finish this. He's like, no problem. So it was
That's
great.
So
I
funny.
Mean, she was, yeah, so she grew up in the Raider family, and a lot of my, you know, friends who are Raiderettes were still very, very close. And for them to have seen her grow up throughout all these years, she's got the Raiders sort of etched in her heart now. So, big fan on
Very
from that
cool.
one. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So I also have here that you watch as much TV, Netflix, YouTube, Hulu as possible.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So do you binge watch?
I have to, you know, it's the only way nowadays, you know, we're all so busy and working, and thank
mm-hmm.
God for DVRs and Hulu and Netflix and YouTube being able to catch up, because also being in PR and having to stay up on everything that's happening, how do you fit everything in? The only way is to schedule it nowadays. And, you know, other than football, which I do try to watch live and we'll tweet and all that fun stuff, but when it comes to shows, okay, you know what? I'm going to watch House of Cards all in one, you know, all in one sitting. That's the only way to be able to do it. Well, actually two. It took two full weekends for that. But, you know, it's technology is really helping me fit a lot more into my schedule, which is a good or a bad thing. I don't know. But, yes, that's how I try to catch up.
And so what are some of the shows you're addicted to on Netflix?
Definitely House of Cards. You know, I think it was from season one to season two, very beautifully done, and I think it set a new standard for how digital entertainment can be. I think another one is Orange is the New Black. It's just the storyline, it can be a little bit off the wall and sometimes a little bit gross, you know, some scenes I've seen and people fighting and knives and all that stuff, but it's very creative. It's a great creative show. And one on Hulu, doing a lot of work for them, I love The Awesomes. I don't know if you've got a chance to ever watch any of those episodes, but The Awesomes is really good. And then, yeah, it's pretty funny because they get basically the cast of SNL to do voiceovers for these funny offbeat superheroes. And so if you're into animated comedy, that one's a pretty good one. And then, you know, East Los High was one that my daughter and I actually sat and watched together because they do go over some controversial topics and things, like her being, she's not quite in high school yet, but, you know, and of course there were some things and scenes, and I figured, you know, I watched the show and I thought that a couple episodes would be appropriate for us to watch together because it really opened the door for some really tough conversations, but I'd much rather be that mom that she comes to and feels comfortable with those weird questions than trying to get her other 13 and 14-year-old friends to explain them to her when that's the last place I want her going to get questions answered. So lots of good digital shows between Hulu and Netflix for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I have a 7, 8, 9-year-old, and I try to, you know, they're not quite ready for the real, you know, the scary topics quite yet. I mean, we're kind of prepping them, but we definitely try and have that. My husband and I have that open door policy where even if you think you're going to get in trouble or whatever it is, just come to us because, you know, parents, it's your worst nightmare to have something happen and have them not come to you because they're scared. So I hear you there for sure.
So smart.
Now, do you watch anything on network? Like, do you watch, like, Once Upon a Time? Because I know that's one of my favorites.
Yeah, you know, that's actually my daughter's favorite show. I've watched a couple of episodes here and there with her because I'm also a big Disney fan. So Disneyland is our very favorite place to go. So seeing how they intertwine all of these different characters and, oh, Mom, did you know that Peter Pan is the son of this person here? And she knows how they tie it all together. But I've seen a couple, but it's been really hard to do all that catch up. So I can't say that I know all of what's happening. I did try to watch Once Upon a Time in Wonderland. And I have to tell you I'm kind of glad they took it off air. It was painful. I watched the first two episodes and just thought that the casting was kind of poorly done. And it was like, no, just stick to Once Upon a Time. It's so good. This one just isn't good. So that one's not on it anymore. Yeah.
I never got into that one, that particular one. It seemed a little weird for my taste, to be honest. So one of those sports, I know I'm a huge sports junkie. I pay attention to most sports. I love, you know, if it's on TV, I'm like a magnet. So what other sports do you like to watch?
I really enjoy watching college football when I can on Saturdays. Mm-hmm. I usually pick a game or two and just sit around and watch. I like following USC now that I've moved down to Southern California. Obviously watched college football back when I went to San Jose State, so always a fan of the Spartans. And I like watching the NBA, but more when it's live. I really, really enjoy just live games. Baseball has never been one that I could watch on TV. It's too slow moving for me, but I love, love, love going to baseball games. And then, you know what? I enjoy watching boxing, of course, and UFC just because, I would say boxing was actually the very first sport I started following because my dad was a professional boxer growing up. He was the first Golden Gloves winner out of Hawaii. So definitely a big fan of dad's, and that's probably why I've been a sports junkie growing up. So
that's really cool. That's really cool. I know I watched boxing. My husband boxed for a while. You know, he coached boxing in college. He coached the college boxing team and stuff. And once we got married, I watched some boxing. And it's fun. It's, you know, people like to come down on it because it's violent and, you know, things like that. But obviously, I mean, you're hitting people for a profession. It's going to be violent. But there's also a lot of beauty in boxing, I think, a lot of strategy that people don't realize. And there's a lot than just going out there and trying to pummel the guy's face. So I agree with you on the boxing. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and,
so
you know, it's...
Oh, go ahead.
So I was just going to say, for anyone who's also grown up watching Rocky, I mean, Sylvester Stallone, I'm not ashamed to admit, is my favorite actor, always has been since I was young. And I think, again, that probably has something to do with my dad. But if you watch all of the Rockies, you see that it's not just about men who punch each other in the face. There's heart involved. There's passion. There's mental strategy. It's, you know, they say it's 10% body, 90% mental. You know, you got to walk into the ring with the eye of the tiger or someone who has that edge, you know, who wants to come in and beat you can and will, you know, so it's, there's definitely a lot more than just the brawn involved.
So funny you say that. The Rocky movies are some of my favorite movies of all time. Those are, oh my gosh, they're so fantastic. And Sylvester Stallone is up there, with my favorite actors. And if I think if I could just pick one actor to meet, I think I would probably pick him. He is, I just love him. And not ashamed to say, I think he's incredibly good looking even after all these years. So that's awesome.
I agree. Have you seen the latest Expendables?
No, I haven't
the
seen
Expendables
that yet.
You have to. You have to go see it.
Oh, good. And I think it's so funny that Dolph Lundgren was in there. He was in Rocky IV. He played the Russian. So I thought that was so cool. so funny. All right, so let's get into the NFL latest news and notes. So Ryan Mallett just today was traded to the Texans for a conditional seventh-round pick in 2016. So let me tell you, people, I personally believe this was a crap deal. Okay, Ryan Mallett, they were saving him for this big-time, you know, trading chip type thing, like he was their ace in the hole, and a seventh rounder. Mm-hmm. I mean, oh my gosh, I just feel like they gave the guy away. Like they put him on the corner with a free sign on his neck. I mean, oh, drove me crazy when I got that notification today.
I mean, I don't know how much of it had to do with, you know, Bill O'Brien and having him go back and sort of play there, but I don't know. I'm still curious to see how that's going to all play out.
Yeah, I am too. And I know, you know, they let go of Casey Keenum, so they have Ryan Fitzpatrick that will probably start, which I have my doubts about how Fitzpatrick is going to be able to perform. He never did much at the Bills. So I guess we'll have to see how, you know, with the Bill O'Brien's offensive scheme and how he does there. But I was pretty frustrated with the Ryan Mallett thing. I feel like we really could have gotten more for him than we did.
Yeah,
so, and here was a surprise that the Saints released Champ Bailey. What do you think about that?
You know, I actually didn't even read up on that yet, so I don't have any thoughts.
Okay.
I'm like, with everything else, I have.
What's that?
I was just saying, I was like, great, now that's like another thing that I have to look up between, you know, what's happening with all these guys being suspended, you know, from, you know, Alden was saying bomb and, you know, all these other things happening. It's like, God, I just want to watch the game. What is all this happening, guys? Can't you just make this easy? It's like following the the off-screen soap opera and then watching everything on screen. It's so much.
It does get overwhelming.
So sorry,
I
continue.
I was just surprised. Champ Bailey is a phenomenal player. And for them to release him, I'm just, I mean, I know he's getting older, and you know, obviously a product of getting older is getting slower. But I feel like he has more to offer. I think he can definitely still make a difference on a team, but I'm really wondering, you know, how long it's going to be before Champ Bailey announces his retirement.
Yeah, I honestly am a big fan. I think Champ Bailey is a really, really talented athlete. And, you know, I think that I want to say that age isn't always a thing. I mean, look at Jerry Rice and how long he played and, you know. But for every team, I mean, they always have their reasons. And some stuff will be reported, some stuff not. Like, some things are like, well, you know what? Sometimes chemistry changes with new energy. Like, how does that, you know, so being on the football side of things and having to look at a big team and saying, all right, well, this guy is amazing. He's been on our team forever. However, now with these three new people or whatever it is being added to the team, how does that change things? So there's so many things that happen behind the scenes, you know, so that's why, like, when trades and people get cut and releases, I always say, you know what, the managing staff, like the people who have to make these decisions, they always have their reasons. There's always something, you know. So
yeah, definitely. The business side of things, you know, I know people complain that it ruins football, but unfortunately it is definitely a huge part of the game, because these teams have to make money. These players have to make money. It's their livelihood, and they're risking their health every single day that they go out there, put on those pads and engage, you know, and they need to be compensated for that. And so, you know, it is a business, but, you know, and then I think that Champ Bailey, I don't know how much of it was salary cap issues or how much of it was just that he didn't fit, because sometimes it is, you know, that players just don't fit in. It's not that they're a bad player or that it is time for them to retire. It's just they would do better at a different team. I mean, take a look at Alex Smith. He didn't do well in San Francisco. He goes to the Kansas City Chiefs, and, you know, he's flourishing there. So a lot of times it has to do with coaches and their methods, too.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, and my thing, too, is, I don't know, you look at, like, a coach like Jim Harbaugh, who I have a lot of respect for, right? And he took over the same team that Mike Singletary had, right, the Niners. So he went, he took basically that same squad, and look what he's done. Coaching and their sort of their energy and how they see things and their sort of vision and how they even affect the guys plays so much into what you see on TV. You know, I think Gruden was probably one of the last great coaches that we've had for the Raiders. Those guys feared him in a very good way, but he motivated them like no one else. And I think that definitely, you bring up a great point. The coach and the chemistry with the team really means a lot. So,
yeah. And one thing I was so sad to read this week was Logan Mankins traded to Tampa Bay. I love Logan Mankins. Phenomenal player, and I was really sad to see him go. I think if any of the teams, you know, in the NFL are really business-minded, it's got to be the Patriots. You know, they're not the most sentimental people. Belichick doesn't, you know, he doesn't really get attached, which, you know, you could say good or bad. It has obviously served them well. You know, I was sad to see Welker go when they traded him, and I guess they didn't really trade him. He was a free agent. But, you know, it is sad when these players have to move on. But you can always keep, you know, I'll keep track of Logan Mankins. But, it was a sad day when I got that alert.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, no, he's a talented athlete. Very, very good. And, again, I'm sure they had their reasons. I think, didn't they get, was it Tim Wright?
They got a tight end in the deal.
Okay, so it's like they probably needed that, and it's all it's so tough. Everyone always has their reasons for the breakups.
Exactly. Especially with Gronk's health being in question, He says he'll start all 16 games, but, you know, Gronk has had his share of issues, so we'll just have
sure.
to see. The Cleveland Browns cut Rex Grossman, which was not a huge surprise whatsoever.
Right.
Not any photos of him on the sideline. The guy looked like he had eaten one too many donuts. Let's just say that. So he was not even in shape. So it was not a surprise to me that he was cut.
The Browns have had a lot going on this season.
They have. Oh, my gosh. Their PR person must just,
oh,
I don't know, they're
ragged.
Happy. What's that?
I would say just running ragged with all the stuff happening.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Johnny Manziel and what's happening with Josh Gordon and then, you know, that as well. There's a lot of energy coming from that camp. Lots of fires to put out.
Hopefully they get a bonus this year for sure.
Right, stress bonus.
Yeah, so James Harrison retired. One of the greats in the game announced he's retiring. So that was sad, but hopefully he has some, you know, after football plans so he doesn't, you know, get bored essentially.
Right.
But,
well, good. I mean, if he wasn't feeling it, I believe he was going to be playing for the Cardinals, but it was like, you know, going from the Steelers and not, I think when you get to a certain point in your career, you want to either keep going up, and if you don't see that the upward trajectory is going to happen, then you know what, sometimes just retiring is a good thing, just relaxing and going off into the next sort of place in your career, you know, so always wish retired NFL players the best of luck.
Mm-hmm. For sure. So we'll talk about kind of a serious issue here. Ray McDonald, a DN for the 49ers, was arrested for domestic violence. What I read online, mind you, this is online, but I did read it, that they were celebrating his birthday and the police were called, and his fiance showed the police bruises that she had. So they arrested him for domestic violence. This also, you know, obviously we have to say alleged because there has been no conviction. But this, you know, kind of puts into under the new rule that, you know, that the NFL has put in when you're arrested for domestic violence. The policy is mandatory 6-game suspension for the first, and the second offense is a banishment from the league. So, Goodell, you know, admitted he made a mistake with the way he handled the Ray Rice situation. So what are your thoughts? Oscar, are you here?
I'm listening. How are you guys doing today?
Hey! Hi, Oscar.
Good, how are you?
I got a chance to make it here the last 15 minutes, but it's been a great show.
Nice.
How are you doing, Nicole?
Awesome, I'm great. Me and Erica are just, we're having a great time here. Lots of good talk.
Yeah, no, it's great. I'm just sitting and listening. That's good.
Well, I think that, you know, these guys are superheroes to many people, right? And I think the NFL is smart to put such, I guess, like, such strong rules around this. You know, imagine, you know, whether they want to admit it or not, these guys are constantly, you know, under the radar from fans, from kids, from people in their communities, all that stuff. Like, they have to be smart about the things that they do. And they're also training almost 7 days a week. I mean, for the most part, they're all big men who, you know, even the strongest of, you know, women, you know, I can't say that there wouldn't be a woman who would be able to take Ray McDonald, but I'm just saying these guys are big and just please can, you know, watch your anger, watch your movements, watch yourselves, you know, no matter what, you know, be that role model, walk away from a situation, you know, walk away. I feel for him because we don't know all of the details, but it's a really sad thing to to hear that he was arrested for that, but I'm happy that the NFL is coming out and making a statement saying this is very important. You guys are all, you're all heroes to many people, so please set that example.
Yeah, I agree. You know, tolerate this type of conduct is, it's not the message the NFL can send. It's,
right.
You know, they're, like you said, they're all, a majority of them are very big men,
yeah.
And football's a very aggressive sport. So you have to have a certain level of natural aggressiveness, which is not bad at all, because I would say a majority of the men in the NFL are not out, abusing women. But at the same time, you have to know when you can turn that on and off. You cannot always be on with your aggression. And so I was very happy to read that they changed the policy. Men, maybe the league, I don't know if they offer anything like this, but maybe they should offer some type of anger management or some program that helps these men handle the stress and the aggressiveness that comes with their position. Would be something that could help. But it's definitely disappointing to see these men. Like we said, he has not been convicted of anything. He has been arrested. But if it's true, it's very sad to see, when a man will use his fists and his thighs against a woman. And I agree with you. It's good that the NFL is cracking down on it. Do you have any thoughts on this, Oscar?
It was surprising to me that it's gone this far and they haven't mandated. It's happened over and over in terms of, drug abuse,
yeah.
suspension.
Right.
But now we're getting
right.
into physicality, off the field. So, in a business sense, I think you have to draw a line between accepting and allowing a superstar to be a superstar on your platform, and then overlooking the day-to-day, public issue. And I think that at some point you have to marry the public with the superstar and have to somehow make a decision about how that's going to go hand-in-hand and just let the courts have a certain amount of punishment. The league's going to have to, kind of either abide by the court's ruling and mandate that within themselves, or they're going to have to come up with something that is fair on both sides, because the Players Association is going to turn around and say, and back the player up at some point. But, to me, it's just you get to a pressure state, like Nicole says, and some of these guys will crack, and it's so easy for them to completely overpower somebody at home. It's so much easier to do that.
Yeah.
And that's the sad thing about it.
Yeah. So an interesting statistics I read, after roster cuts this week, the Raiders have the oldest roster in the NFL. So there's a little bit of an interesting statistic out there, which, older doesn't mean not as good. It means more experience, and it means more wisdom. So
there you go.
People should watch out.
I agree.
I have something, Oscar, being a Rams fan, you could weigh in on this too. So Michael Sam was kept this week by the Rams. Obviously, he has been very vocal about his sexuality and his being homosexual, which I think was great for him to come out. That had to have been very hard for him, being that it was in the, kind of the environment he was in, being all dominated by males and kind of some homophobia that could possibly go into that. What I'm curious about is if either of you think that somebody could twist this against Jeff Fisher and the Rams, that they possibly dismissed him because of his homosexuality, or if you think that will ever be an issue. Oscar, let's start with you.
I really think, given all the hype, given all the press, it would be pretty bad for a coach to just completely take him out because of his, sexuality. So I really think, hopefully, the case was that he's not ready to be at a starting caliber player, and he needs to either, maybe given an opportunity on the practice squad or something like that to get better and get elevated. But, I don't know what Coach Fisher was thinking at this point, but, when you have to trim roster spots, It's really hard to do from what I'm told. It's a lot of tedious things, and then you have to weigh a lot of factors. So I don't think the sexuality was weighted so much. I think it was really more of the preseason and the offseason output. And if he wasn't up to par, then maybe that's the reason that they cut him.
Yeah, and I actually agree, Oscar.
Yeah, I don't think that. I just want to make that clear. But I was curious as to, there's radicals in every camp, and that it was possible that, you know, somebody could come back to Jeff Fisher of the Rams and say, hey, you know, and I think that, he was a late-round draft pick anyway, that it's, that I would bet that, they cut him because he's not quite ready for professional starting. But it was a kind of a curiosity I had.
And competition in camp is always very tough. So it's like the percentage are against you if you're a later round player, unless you're Jerry Rice or somebody that has come out completely, and impressed. The percentages, I think, were up against him anyways to begin with, not including his sexuality, thing. But I think reality is that when it comes down to this time of year, a lot of players get cut. But then, you've seen Hard Knocks various times. Some of the players get cut, and then they get called back within a couple weeks because of some injury or something happens on the roster. So I don't think we've seen the last of him, in other words, in the NFL. It might just be a situation where he's just going to have to get better at what he was doing before, and then maybe they'll see something different and then give him another opportunity.
And I think they also asked him to be part of their 10-man practice squad. So I think, again, to Oscar's point, it's probably, the odds were against him in terms of being a seventh-round draft pick. But being asked to be part of a practice squad could still give him that opportunity to get that extra boost of experience that he needs. And to be honest, no one in the media or whatever could take this and spin it without specific, things to point back to, right? So it's, we heard that in the locker room something like this happened. Okay, well, then you've got energy to put behind something like that. But I think if anyone even tried, it would be dead in the water because Sam had from what everyone has seen, a very fair opportunity to prove himself.
Don't see.
Very good point.
I don't think I was glad that the NFL didn't cater to the player in the sense because of the sexuality. So in this sense, I think they're leaving the team to make the decision whether he's capable to start or he's not. And that really, when it boils down to that, I think that's a fair thing to do for the player too, because now you're excluding all these other factors and you're only focusing on the football factor, which is the only thing that really should matter.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So the Buffalo Bills have signed Kyle Orton, which I don't know why. Why would you do that? I mean, he's not very good, obviously. I just think the Bills need
a different answer. Erica, was it $5 million?
Yes. Yes, in the first year.
And you're not giving him 5 minutes yet. He hasn't even shown you what you can do in Buffalo.
Well, obviously, he showed me what he could do in Denver. He showed me what he could do in Chicago. And he showed me what he could do in Dallas. And that was pretty much nothing. And so I just...
You should be happy he's not in a Jets uniform for that amount of money.
I'm happy he's not in a Patriots uniform for that amount of money. That's what I'm happy about. But
or Raiders.
Yes. So, oh, my gosh. Seriously. Anyway, the Bills, you need something different, guys. Obviously, you're struggling and you're grasping for straws here.
Maybe Yvonne Jovi thought he was a good fit for a backup.
Yeah. So, and you guys aren't aware. Okay, so when the Seahawks signed Terrell Pryor, you guys remember that in the offseason? All right, and remember when they gave away kind of a high-round draft pick, if I'm remembering correctly, when they signed him. So, I did not think this was a good move for the Seahawks. I thought it was ill-advised, if you will, for them to give away draft pick to sign him. And when I said that on Facebook, I'm from Washington State, for anybody that doesn't know that. So a lot of my family and friends on Facebook are from Seattle,
mm-hmm.
big Seahawks fans. And I got just torn apart on Facebook for my comment about it being a stupid move. And I say all of that to say the Seahawks just released Terrell Pryor, and I was right, okay? I just want to say that for all of the people out there that tore me apart on Facebook, I was right, and that's all I wanted to say. So
it's getting it off your chest, I guess. That's a good sign,
yeah.
But I don't think they feel any better than you do. But you feel great about it.
I feel awesome. I was vindicated, and vindication is always wonderful. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
Steve McCarron, I bet you Steve McCarron is probably not as happy as you are.
I bet not. Steve, he wasn't one of the ones because we're not friends on Facebook, but, you know, anyway.
I'm not sure yet how I feel. Just coming back to Oakland, and, I mean, he played for us, and I did like him. I thought that he had a lot of mm-hmm. potential. But, you know, so much of it is, does the coach and the team have a good chemistry with the quarterback? I mean, I really believe that a coach and a head quarterback, you know, lead quarterback, whatever, my brain
mm-hmm.
is, like, now fried. It means so much to the rest of the team, right? And I don't know if he
mm-hmm.
if he had that. So it's I was a little bit baffled. I was like, really? Okay, well, we'll see how this works out. You know,
mm-hmm.
so, you know, I guess I'm just going to stay tuned. I'm trying not to have too many opinions about it because I'm a little thrown off. I'm a little thrown off by it.
Yeah.
You know, the draft, when you take a player and stuff, it's almost like going on Match.com. You're just taking a chance
right.
that the date's going to work out well. You know what I mean? But,
right.
but you're taking a chance that the coach, that
yeah.
the coordinator, and that the offensive line plus the quarterback are going to gel.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of people with a lot of opinion, with a lot of intangibles. So I sometimes it works so well that you're like, wow, this
yeah.
gel really well. And then other times you're like, why is this not working? But it's just the way, it's almost like normal life. You know, you just,
yeah.
sometimes you mess with certain people and other times just certain people rub you the wrong way. You just want to be, you know, a couple miles away.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I totally agree.
And you're hoping that, you know, their bio didn't say they were 5'7", you know, 120-pound model, and they end up being 500 pounds and, you know, with missing teeth. So, you know. That's usually what you're hoping.
That's an issue.
Funny.
That's an issue. A missing teeth is obviously an issue on a date. That's not good.
No,
yeah,
and that you didn't get catfished, right? Right. You didn't get catfished, so.
Oh,
well, our show is almost done, Nicole. Why don't you tell us where our listeners can find you and any news or anything you've got going on?
Yeah, so to find me specifically, I've kept it pretty easy across all sort of social media, Twitter, Instagram, you name it. It's Nicole RPR. Keeping that easy. And then my agency, you can find us at www.nrprgroup.com. And there it's really easy to find all of our social media buttons to connect with us there. And in terms of news that we've got upcoming, we've got a couple of new clients. One that I mentioned, very, very, very proud to announce, is Sugar Shane Mosley and his son, actually, Shane Jr. So that's going to be great, and because they've got a lot of really great things. I don't know if you guys also follow what's happening in boxing, but Shane Jr. is coming up, and he's got such a great heart and passion, and these guys really, really take the art of boxing just to another level. It's definitely not just the brawn with these guys. They definitely mind, body, soul, spirit, all of it, you know, so something I definitely respect. And then we also picked up another web series, actually. They're looking for distribution, but pretty soon they'll have some stuff coming out. But Velvet Prozac. Not a lot of people have heard about it, but you can look at their website. And I'm excited about that because, as you know, another passion of mine is digital entertainment. So you can always just keep up with what we're doing on, you know, NRPR Group on Twitter to see what's happening with our clients and all that fun stuff. But I think that's pretty much what's happening now.
Awesome. Oscar, what about you? You got anything going on?
No, I mean, for us, like whatever I mentioned on the script, it's just pretty much we're kind of evolving into Canada. I got good news this week. We are doing some things with Canada. Of course, it's a little bit of funding that we have to come up with, but overall, the Maritime, the Western Women's, and the Canadian Leagues, we're gearing up to maybe have an opportunity to do a full kit apparel on the training side. But we're still working out the logistics at this point for 2015. Other than that, we got, like I said, Gridiron Australia. We got Lauren Evans, and we also have Chrissy Moran, who are playing right now, and she was the MVP of last year. And so she's working with our apparel, and we're working out a shoot, Australian shoot. And I want to just give a shout out since we're, you know, kind of giving props to all this going on with all of our stuff. Just want to give a shout out to Rich Brain out of UK for allowing us to do and helping us out with the Great Britain shoot for the new No Joke Football brand. And then we got one in Spain, one in Germany, and we should come up with another one in U.S. with James Johnson, who's coming up probably in another week or so. So branching out and networking is the best thing for everything.
That's great.
All right. Exciting. Well, for Gridiron Girl, we are in full swing with college football, like I said in the beginning of the show, so please check out gridirongirl.org. And if you see a school there that is not represented and you are a big fan, please contact us. We're always looking for new writers, so we would welcome you. And I do the NFL portion of the site, and I will be doing a Are You Kidding Me rant video this week. Well, it's more like next week after week one of NFL season is concluded. So I'm really excited about that. I mentioned last week that we're in the middle of a site redesign, so you guys will want to check out the exciting new design. I think it will launch sometime this week. And, you know, fantasy football will be – everyone's doing their draft, so good luck to everybody with that. And are you playing fantasy football, Nicole?
Oh my God, I'm so competitive. It's ridiculous. Fantasy football has completely ruined my life because it's all I think about once it starts happening, and it stresses me out.
Nicole, I was going to ask, are you a rotten owner or a competitive owner?
Very competitive owner. Like I'm one of those who's like looking at different things. I'm trading at the last minute. I'm watching the news. I'm telling you, it's like a great and terrible thing all in one package. But I'm looking forward to the stress and hoping to come out on top.
I love to hear it. We just started a Gridiron Girl Beginner Fantasy League. So I was really catering to, you know, people that haven't played, and it's kind of an intimidating thing the first time. So I've played, but I wanted to help. I wrote a guide on our site and stuff. So trying to help others, you know, it can't be stressful, especially when you're competitive. I hear you.
Oh, sure. Well, I'll have to look out for that and send that to some of my girlfriends who are playing as well, because it's hard for me to explain everything, but maybe I'm going to go take a look and share it with my girls. Here you go.
Yeah, it's on the site under fantasy football. It's just kind of beginner notes, tips and stuff, you know, things
fantasy
I wish I would have known when I started. Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. All right, well, I think that does it. Another edition of The Blitz here on Blog Talk Radio and UltimateSportsTalk.com. Don't forget, I just mentioned, to check GridironGirl.org on Twitter. And Oscar mentioned the photos from UK from Gridiron Glamour's Rich Brain photo shoot, plus James Johnson photos next week featuring No Joke Football brand gear. So visit the No Joke Football Project shop for great deals on tees, hoodies, and leggings now until Labor Day. Use the code for 15% off. what is it, Oscar, Labor Day? Oh, 2014 Labor Day, right? Is the code?
Yeah, 2014 Labor Day until Monday midnight. So, Nicole,
right.
Thanks again. Say hi to Ben Kay for us. I know he made the arrangements.
I will.
Really appreciate it. And, we look forward to maybe chatting another time in the future as well to see what's coming up with you. And it's very interesting that what you have going on. So we both of us wish you continued success and that worked out for you as well.
Yeah, same to you guys. Thank you so much. I had a great time and would love to be back and talk shop maybe a little towards the end of the season to see how some things play out. That could be fun.
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, if
and
you have
so
a fantasy football
fun.
Tip, you can always come on.
I love it. Okay. That sounds perfect.
Thank you so much. I had so much fun with you. And, we're probably going to do one of these for Gridiron Girl in midweek. So I may be contacting you to come on for Gridiron Girl, me and a couple of the ladies that write for us, if you wouldn't mind.
Perfect. I wouldn't mind at all. Just let me know how I can help.
Oh, great. Awesome.
Perfect.
Well, thank you so much.
You got it. Well, thank you both, and enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Yeah, you
Thanks.
Too.
Thanks. Have a great afternoon.
Okay. Bye-bye. You too.
Bye. All right. Well, I'm glad you made it for a little bit of it, Oscar.
Yeah, I kind of bailed on the project we had going on, and we ended up getting off a little early. So I was like, okay, well, I'll pitch in for 15 minutes if that's the case. But great. I mean,
nice.
At this point, we still got a little bit of time, so it's always 90 minutes. Just if you ever forget, so you can always cut it off at an hour and a half. So you still have that leeway of time.
Okay.
That's why I usually do that, just in case you run off a little bit. So
you
know what? Before we go off the air, I'm kind of sad. We haven't found the Kurt Warner to salvage our season, so I'm going to have to be on the lookout and see if anybody else. Maybe Kyle Orton should have went to the Rams. I don't know.
Well, I just read that they're looking at Terrell Pryor. So
yeah,
maybe.
I know. Yeah.
Well,
but,
I mean, there
was Rex Grossman available. There was all these other players available, and I'm like, okay, come on, pick up somebody that's at least somewhat decent, you know. But we'll see.
Yeah. Did you hear me tell Nicole that it looked like Rex Grossman had eaten one too many donuts on the sideline of the Browns? He doesn't look like he's in shape at all. put the donut down and do some crunches, Rex Grossman. Okay, there's my advice to you, man.
I guess he's the epitome of a backup quarterback at third string.
Back up.
Just waiting in the wings.
Oh, man. That's not a good way to try and secure a job. But, hey, that's not,
too bad they don't have an NFL Inquirer. Then they'd really do a job on him.
Oh, man, that would be awesome. They'd be like, is he pregnant? Is he, you know?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, that's awesome.
That would be awesome.
All right. I think we have an idea there, Oscar. We've got
I know. We should call it an NFL Inquirer. That'll be good. Oh, that's funny.
Oh, that's so awesome. All right. Well, you guys can catch me at PetsFangirl12, and I am going to be doing cover 3 this year. This season, which I love to do, you can find them on Twitter at Cover3. And she is awesome, diehard Redskins fan. So if you're a Redskins fan, you'll love to follow her. If you're not, you'll still love to follow her. Like I said, look for my Are You Kidding Me rants on YouTube. So
I can't wait for that.
I can't either. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. And then kickoff this Thursday, Green Bay, Seattle. So hopefully no fail Mary.
Yeah, we'll see if we can get Scott on because we like to get Scott's perspective, especially for the for next Sunday and see what he thought of the game. That would be nice to get him on for at least a half hour. So I'm going to see if I can get him on.
That's true. Yeah, so Scott, if you're listening, there you go, man. You can have your platform.
Exactly.
Oh, all right. Well, if you don't have anything else, Oscar, I think we'll close out another great show.
Yeah, you did a wonderful job. So, that's it.
Thank you.
So I guess we'll catch each other later. I'm hoping next week will be somewhat the same, but if not, I'll let you know if I can come on or not. So, but I thought, okay, you know, 15 minutes, I was like, oh, I'll just call in anyways. But yeah, so Patriots week one. So we're looking forward to it. So
yeah,
next Sunday, it's going to be awesome.
Yep, Patriots are playing Miami, division opponent right off the bat. So it'll be exciting.
Yeah, it's coming. I can't wait. I can't wait to see what you thought of, what you think of the game, and your buddy Tom Brady.
And my buddy Tom. I wish he was my buddy. I wish I knew him.
Yeah, of course.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. And we will hopefully catch you next week on Gridiron Beauties Radio and UltimateSportsTalk.com. Have a great night.
Bye, everybody.